We've started before on this famous scripture that we all know, that what I want to do, I don't do it. I actually do that which I hate. But last time we focused on the spirit. So I'm going to go quickly to the Venn diagram to, for those of you guys that weren't here, just to explain quickly. So this is a Venn diagram. When Peter was here, Acheni, Peter's brother, when he was here a couple of weeks ago, he did this, put this up for us. It's a nice tool to read the scripture, any scripture in the Bible. You can see in it the gospel, you can see in it people, you can see in it spirit. And it's very applicable to our lives, whatever context we are in, whether it's family, friends, work, students. There's always people, and we have the gospel, and we have the spirit. And God opens the door when we use this key, the gospel and the spirit. When we use this, God opens doors into people's lives. Everyone is created by God. Everyone has a desire to know God. And like we communicated with the Father this morning, is everyone's desire, whether they acknowledge it or not. They were created by God. His handprints is on every person on this earth. So in them is this capacity and desire to know Him. So we're going to, last time we focused on the Spirit, and this time we're going to focus on the gospel. So we're going to take a portion of scripture. It doesn't matter where you read. So we're going to look at Acts 14 and 15. The reason I put that in there is I didn't know that I'm going to do that sumo wrestling. That's the reason I put that video. But when I spoke before, and I spoke about the flesh that is against the spirit, I described a wrestling match. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And the previous time I read to you the Greek, direct Greek translation. And in that translation you see these two opponents in a ring. The one is the flesh that is in us, and the other one is the spirit, the Holy Spirit. So in the Greek, I didn't explain it the last time, it's like a trench warfare. If you think about World War II, these guys were in trenches. So you live in the trench, you eat there, you shoot from there. And the enemy's trench is a little bit further on, and there's a no man's land in the middle. So if you think about your flesh, let me quickly explain flesh. So the Adamic nature, when Adam fell and Eve, because of disobedience, death entered into the spirit of man. So that's why we need to be saved. We need to be rescued. Jesus needs to save us. We sang about freedom this morning. That freedom is from ourselves. We were born with this flesh, this old nature. And when Jesus died and he was resurrected, this is what he provisioned for us, a new nature. And Paul's tension when he was planting these churches in the province of Galatia, it's a Roman province. He moved from Syria, he went to Cyprus and into this Roman province. The tension that he had when people started coming to the Lord is how to make people realize that this is not it. This world is not it. When we get saved and our God becomes our Father, a different reality comes into play. A different identity comes into play. We are not that flesh anymore. We're not that old man anymore. Corinthians says we become a new creation. What does it mean? It means that we identify with Christ. We are crucified with Him, the Bible says. We have died with him. We have been resurrected with him. And even now, at this moment, every one of us are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. How does that boggle our mind? That at the moment as we sit here, we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is our identity. Not the flesh. The flesh is what sin. And when there's sin, there's condemnation. And the enemy uses condemnation to bring us down, to send us down a rabbit hole, so that we feel shameful and we feel bad and we stay in a fleshly state. That is not who we are. This scripture is the key to conquering the flesh. If you think about that, we put it now up as a joke. But also, I didn't know that I'm going to do sumo wrestling. So it was nice in between these two sermons that something like that happened. Because now you can picture the one against the other. And you would think if you pitch the Holy Spirit against our flesh, the Holy Spirit will win. But it's not true. I'll let that sink in for a moment. Our flesh sometimes wins the Holy Spirit. Because it's like a trench warfare. So you will have a line. There's a trench and there's a trench. Some places the Holy Spirit are winning. Some places where the flesh is winning. And the way to allow the Holy Spirit to win all the time is to stay in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. So very simply, a sphere, we have explained this before, the sphere of the Holy Spirit is a circle, a big circle, a dot in the middle, we are in that dot. When we are thinking about the Holy Spirit, we are thinking about the Word, we're thinking about God, we stay within the Holy Spirit. When we start worrying, how am I going to pay my car this month? How am I going to get healed from this? I've got a neck injury from that sumo. How am I going to get healed from that? Just using an example. Things we worry about, instead of like this morning, a practical exercise of just giving it to God. Say, God, I yield to you. Work with me through this. Buying a car, paying a payment, sickness, a new job. Lord, release me from this job. Anything that is personal to us, as we yield it to God, and we train our thoughts to focus on God, we stay in the sphere of the Spirit, and the flesh cannot win then the Holy Spirit is winning. It's so simple, but we miss it. So once more, I'm just going to read it. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Another translation will say the lust of the flesh. The intense desire of the flesh is against the Spirit. This flesh only wants to sin. But the intense desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. The Spirit only wants to give us life and relationship with our Father. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Does everybody understand that scripture? Mm-hmm. So that's what the whole teaching is about. It's based on that. I read this the last time, the whole psalm, but I'm just going to focus on two verses. Verse 12, Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumption sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. That presumption sins is a sin where I willfully sin against God. I know this is wrong, but I'm still going to do it. Which means the flesh at that moment is in charge, not the Spirit. But as I give these things over to him, and as I start thinking, listen, I am on the cross with Jesus. I am resurrected with Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places. As I embrace that new identity, who I am in Christ, then I start dealing with these willful sins. And the Holy Spirit starts winning. So let's focus a bit on the gospel as we read Acts 14. So I'm just going to read the scripture, and then I'll point out where the gospel is present. So now at Iconium is present-day Turkey, what happened is in Acts 13 that the first missionary journey of Paul happened. He went to an island, Cyprus. There was a magician. He didn't want Paul to preach there. There was a very influential governor in that Cyprus, a Roman governor, with lots of social ties over the known Roman world. So Jesus had a plan to get that guy saved. And when Paul went to this guy, immediately a guy with a magician came up against him. And Paul had to silence him by the Holy Spirit and say, "You will be blind." And he stopped speaking. And when this governor saw it, he didn't just hear the gospel. When he saw the gospel in action, because God normally comes and confirms his word through signs and wonders. As we're sitting here listening to the word, he's breaking stuff off us, things we're struggling with, cycles in our mind that we struggle with. He breaks those cycles because the word washes us clean, and the word has power to break those things. So as he spoke to this governor, the governor came to the Lord, and this governor referred him into Turkey on a new Roman road that was built up to Ephesus. And this Iconium is on that road. And most of these places where synagogues was, a church was planted. Because Paul was using his known world. Our known world is our family and friends and work colleagues. Paul's known world was synagogue. He grew up in the synagogue. He was trained by Gamaliel. So he first went to his known world to evangelize the Jews, and then from there further on. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. They spoke. What did they speak? They spoke the gospel. God gave his son. Jesus came to earth. He died for us. He was resurrected. And he opened the throne room for us to access the gospel. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. You guys know the scripture that says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Foolishness to those who do not believe. Power to those who believe, foolishness to those who do not believe. So here you see it. Some believe, some think it's foolish. And then that's normally where the persecution comes from. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord. In the gospel element coming out, who bore witness to the word of grace. The Lord was bearing witness. He was confirming his word through signs and wonders. That's where the Spirit comes in. Remember the diagram? Gospel, word, gospel, people, Spirit. So you have a crowd here. You have the gospel that's being spoken. And you have the Spirit that is confirming. It's exactly the same with us. That's how simple it is. Wherever we are, we live the gospel. We don't have to go to India or Spain or to even to Lesotho. We can start here, right now, next week, Monday, we can start. Just living the gospel. Just, hey, darling. And persecution that comes with it. As you preach the gospel, Dolly can testify of that. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. That's what the gospel does. Okay, verse 7, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you can go in your own time and read chapter 14, it's a beautiful chapter. And there they continued to preach the gospel. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out. So what was happening here, they are in a city and are worshipping Artemis. Ephesus was the center of this idol worship. And when Paul and Barnabas were speaking and miracles were happening, they were afraid to leave their idols. But they saw these miracles and they thought, okay, let's leave our idols and then we start worshipping these two. We'll call the one Jupiter, and we'll call the other one Apollos, and we'll start worshipping them. And that's why they tore their clothes. Said, you can't transfer idol worship to us and make us idols. And there's a lesson for us in this, that we can't make superheroes of anybody. It's God that's doing the work. The miracles is by His Spirit. Salvations, deliverance happens by His Spirit. It's not the person that does it. So when this was happening, they said, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. We bring you good news that you should turn these from these vain things, the idol worship, to a living God. There's a scripture in the Bible that says if you worship idols, an idol hasn't got eyes, idol is blind, idol is deaf, you become like them when you worship these things. Idols can be things that we spend a lot of time with. We rather spend time with those things than with God. Like with me, there's the Bible and there's YouTube. Then I start doing YouTube. It's easier to go into YouTube and quickly watch some stuff on there. But there's the Bible. So YouTube can become an idol. In their context, they have a physical idol, and they try to make Paul and Barnabas their idols. And he's saying, turn from these vain things. So he's preaching the gospel to them, saying the good news, saying, turn from these vain things. He says, turn to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Fear of man is a trap. And we always have to be careful to work into that. Fear of man can become an idol. And we must be aware that fear of God is what we aim for. You guys still with me? When they preach the gospel, there's plain. When they preach the gospel to that city and it made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So here they're coming to the end of their first missionary journey, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So they're coming back, like Tessa coming back now from Ethiopia, telling us these testimonies of what God is doing. That's what's happening here. Went through Turkey, came back to this church in Antioch that was founded a year earlier, and they were telling the stories that God was doing. Just because of the gospel, by the Spirit, people coming to the Lord, churches bringing up, they're telling these stories. Verse 25, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. It was a Roman province. The king was Caesar. No other king was allowed. Rome was the world dominated, the force in the world, the one king in the world was Caesar. If Caesar says die, you die. There's not even a legal, you just die. And they were preaching a new king, Jesus Christ. And God opened this door into Turkey. And we still have churches in Turkey. I mean, this was 2,000 years ago. And this is what they're witnessing to their church about. Moving on to Acts 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And this was Paul's tension. It was the province of Galatia. We have the book of Galatians. And if you read Galatians, we read it earlier, that first verse of the flesh against the spirit. Paul was challenging them. Don't replace faith with good works. We do that. We add works to our faith. We always have to do things by the Holy Spirit. Not just do things because it's good things. When we do good things, we feel good about ourselves. God has to start a good work through us. There's a scripture that says God works in us to do good. and then the glory goes back to God. So here they are saying, the Jewish men are saying, no, but these new Christians must be circumcised. And they are saying no. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. So they're back in Syria, they're going through all the churches, telling what God has done in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, Galatia then. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders. They declared all that God had done with them. Remember Jesus said, the end of Luke, that you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. What is happening here? They're already in Turkey. The next missionary journey is going to go to Italy, to Rome, which was like the end of the earth in those days. So even for us, the gospel doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop in Dampino or Bloemfontein. It keeps on carrying on to the end of the earth. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving him the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. This is so amazing about God, that sometimes he can come and break our minds. Like Peter, he firmly believed the gospel can only go to the Jews. And Jesus had to come and show him personally, no, the gospel is for everybody. Showed it in a vision, took him to Cornelius, which was an Italian family. They came to the Lord, the Holy Spirit fell on them, they started speaking in tongues. He saw it, and this is what he's saying now before the Jerusalem Council. He's saying, I saw it with my eyes, what God did. It's not about how we grew up, it's not about our background. I saw God doing this, we can't fight against it. Verse 24, since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by the word of mouth. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. So the Jerusalem Council is done. Now they're going back on their second missionary journey to all these churches, strengthening them again. The churches that they planted, they bring them this word. The gospel is not just for the Jews, it's for everybody. For Greek, for poor, rich, slave, free man, barbarian, anyone. The gospel is for all of them. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord. There you see the gospel again. We proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Galatians 3. Remember, this was in the province of Galatia, Roman province. The first 7 years of Paul is known. The last 7 years is known. But there's another 7 years that the Bible doesn't really speak about. Corinthians touch a little bit on it. They say there were shipwrecks. I was beaten a couple of times. I was in prison a few times. So somewhere in this area where he was in prison, we don't know exactly where, he wrote this letter to the Galatians, the church that was planted already. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. That was the gospel that was presented to the Galatians. He's talking about the gospel We presented Jesus to you crucified. Let me ask you only this, that you receive the Spirit by works of law or by hearing with faith. They want to replace works. They want to replace faith by works. So instead of trusting God, say, Lord, this thing that I struggle with, I give it to you. Now they want to work hard and try to work this thing out. Pray harder, read more Bible, do more stuff to get this out of their system. But it's only by faith. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of law or by hearing with faith? That is the question for us this morning. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the life that we live by faith. We live in the Spirit, Romans 8. And the fight that we have with the flesh, we can't win it. The flesh is too strong. The Holy Spirit needs to win that flesh, that fight. But we yield to Him. There's a no man's land between these trenches. And in that no man's land is where we yield, where we obey. And in that, the Holy Spirit conquers our flesh. And then we live free from the flesh. And we live a life where we are free, where Jesus has set us free, and we can live in His fruit. Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's when we follow Him and we walk, we live in faith and we live for Him. So, that's the end of the sermon. This morning I just want to pray for us. I know this is a struggle that will carry on until Jesus comes. The struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. And I hope some of these scriptures can help us to just realize that our identity is being attacked. The one that has died with Jesus, that has been resurrected with Jesus, that's seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, that is the person who we are. Not the one sinning willfully and struggling with sin. That is not our identity. That is the old man. Jesus said He made us a new creation. So let's identify with that new creation and allow the Holy Spirit to win this fight. Think about the sumo wrestling that we watch. Allow the Holy Spirit to win that fight, to be on top of the flesh all the time. Not feed the flesh, because then He's the strongest. But let's allow the Holy Spirit to win this fight in our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that we have your word, we have this teaching of Paul, it's a revelation that you gave to him. And Lord, by your Spirit we can live the same life, where we don't have to be subjected to the carnal desires of the flesh, but we can be subjected to the Holy Spirit and his leading, his guidance. Thank you, Lord, that you are building your kingdom through that fight in our lives daily. You are building your kingdom and moving forward in our family and friends' life, our work colleagues, our fellow students. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.